The pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find more information out about Harpeth Baptist Church at harpethbaptist.org. Now let's join Pastor Chance Strickland as he delivers a message from his sermon series entitled, The Path to Forgiveness.
Let's begin reading in John chapter number 14 and verse number 1. From our responsive reading today, we see Jesus announcing his soon departure. He said, I'm going to go away. And Peter says, you can't leave, or can we go with you? As we get over to chapter 14 today, we see Jesus bring comfort to his followers after hearing such grievous news. And to put yourself in the same mindset of his followers here, you think of when someone close to you is leaving or tells you, I'm about to die, or I'm going to move to another state or another country. We're going to be separated for a time. And we enter that stage of grief and depression. And that's probably where his followers are here today. And now we pick up verse number 1 of John chapter 14 as we read Jesus' words in response to that. Let not your heart be troubled. What a wonderful thing to be told, isn't it? My goodness. To think that the very God of heaven would care enough about humans to speak the words to them to say, don't let your heart be troubled. You don't have to worry about this. You believe in God, believe also in me. You've trusted God, you can trust me. And you and I get the double benefit there, where maybe they didn't understand quite yet. Verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now, we're in the middle of a sermon series titled The Path of Forgiveness. And last week we saw in John chapter number 1, John foretells of that path. He told that there's a path coming. There's a way to forgiveness for sins for all eternity coming. Today we see Jesus reveal himself as that path. And we want to look at that in depth today from John chapter number 14. As we read today, we see the passage flow very easily from Jesus telling his disciples that I'm going away, but you know the way to where I'm going. The disciples in turn ask, how can we know the way? And then Jesus answers that by saying, because I am the way. And that's going to be our sermon today. So let's take a moment and look at each of those 3 points, beginning with verses 1 through 4, when Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but you know the way to where I'm going. And let's begin by looking at that. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't you just love it when someone comes to you and says, now don't worry. I don't mean to scare you, but, you know. Or with an obvious look on your face says, are you angry? Are you mad at me? Are you upset? If you have to ask that, they probably are mad at you. And if you have to tell somebody, now don't worry, you're about to tell them something that's going to make them worry. Or if you have to say, now don't be scared, you're probably in a situation where they're already scared. We say those things out of human kindness to try to help comfort with our words, but really our words do very little to comfort, don't they? Now, to different maturity levels, they do. I can speak to Henry, who's afraid of the dark, and I can say, Henry, hold my hand, and you don't have to be afraid of the dark. And I'm a big, strong dad. And Henry's okay with that because he believes that there's nothing that could come to Henry that dad can't take care of. Now, Jack's getting a little older, and Jack's realizing if he hits me in the right places, I cry. And I get mad, and I say, you better leave me alone, boy. And he's realized I'm not the big, strong dad that he thought I was. And then now he'll get a little older when he gets about as tall as me. Now, when I got to that age, I realized dad wasn't the big, strong dad that I thought he was. And one day I thought, I'm going to get this old man. And I really laid into him. We used to pass licks in the kitchen, and we'd hit each other in the arms. You know, I'd hit him, then he'd hit me, then I'd hit him, and he'd hit... I don't know why we'd do that. That's still the Neanderthal in me, I guess. But... Dad hit me in the arm, and I said, I just really good got him in the gut, you know. I said, yeah. And the next thing I remember is my mother over me saying, get up, get up, get up. I don't know what happened, but I was just laying in the floor there. But when Jesus says here, let not your heart be troubled, it's not the same as if I were to come to you and say, now don't worry, It's not the same. It's more like if I were to look at my son Henry and say, hold Dad's hand, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. Because there is something in me that he can trust or feels like he can. But more so, there's something in Jesus. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You trust God, trust me as well. There's a reason that you don't have to be troubled, and I am that reason. You know the way. Don't worry. Jesus is beginning to speak words of comfort. We need to realize it to his followers, though, that that may have come across as more troubling than comforting. For him to have to say, you believe in God, believe also in me, is like, you know, he's having to reassure them of something that may not be there. You understand that? So they may not understand like we do as we have the whole written account here before us today. He continues by saying, I'm going to leave you. Starts with saying, don't worry, and then follows that up with, I'm going to leave you. There's no reason for alarm other than I'm going to be killed. You've left all to follow me. You've given up your occupation. You've left your families. And you assumed you would spend the rest of your life this way. Now, less than 4 years into this thing, I'm telling you, I'm going to be killed. But don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Can you put yourself in the mentality of these disciples right now? As Jesus reveals the path to you and I, revealing the path to forgiveness is great. Man, I'm glad he does. I like verse 6. But it took a lot to get to verse 6. We had to back up into chapter 13. Didn't they know the page breaks back then? That chapter 13 ended and chapter 14 began? Did the disciples not know that? Did they not read their Bibles? That was sarcasm again, by the way. Jesus says, I'm going to leave you. I am leaving to go prepare a place for you. Now, I like that. There's some debate. You know, we like to sing, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. I don't care if it's a mansion or not. You can read the commentaries on this passage, and most of the scholars say, oh, it's not a mansion, it's a room, or it's something else. I believe I serve a big enough God that if he wants to build me a mansion, he can. But I believe in heaven, the last thing I'm going to worry about is a mansion. I'm going to be with Jesus and my grandmother and my grandfather. Grandmother mainly, but we'll throw Pop in there too. I don't care. The thing I focus on, and the word that carries over actually from that verse over to the next verse is not mansion. What is it? Look at your Bible this morning. I'm going, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What's the word that carries over? Place. I like that better than a mansion. I like to know that there's a place for me. In fact, I'm already in that place, and I'm not even in heaven yet. That's way better than a mansion. We need to start singing, I've got a place in Jesus rather than I've got a mansion over the hilltop. In my humble opinion, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will return and bring you to this place. He finishes that section by telling his followers that they already know the way. Now, Thomas says it here. None of the other disciples do. And Thomas, again, after the resurrection, we call him Thomas the Doubter. I like to just think him of as Thomas the Practical Thinker. I mean, he just thinks like me, and I think I'm a pretty practical thinker. What does Thomas say? Let's look at the passage here. Jesus says in verse 4, where I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas says in verse 5, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Thomas said, Lord, you haven't told us. I don't know if you've got your notes mixed up here in this speech you're giving us, but you haven't told us where you're going. How can we already know? I'm with Thomas. If we didn't have verse 6 yet, I wouldn't know what he's talking about there. Now, because I grew up in church and in Sunday school and I know the whole story of the Bible, then I got it down, right? I'm an expert, and I know exactly what's going on here. And a lot of times we look down on poor old Thomas, and he didn't even believe that Jesus was alive. And he said, I need to touch you to believe you're really there. I don't blame Thomas. I just saw him die on a cross and watched him put his body in a tomb dead, and the next day I'm going to see him. I'm assuming that's a ghost and not the man that I just watched die. You could be a little more spiritual than me, but that's where I am with my practical thinking. I don't like to think of Thomas as the doubter. I like to think of Thomas as me, about like us. Practical thinker, right where most of us are there. And Thomas asked the question that probably everybody else was thinking. Aren't you happy that there's people like that in the world? When I was in school, I didn't like to feel stupid. That's a bad word. All the children are not in here, so I guess I can use the S word. I didn't like to feel like I didn't know something. So I waited till someone else asked the question. And then I was that one who said, yeah, that's right. He doesn't know and I don't know either. But I was always happy when there was somebody else who would ask the question. Raise the hand and say to the teacher, Now, I don't get what you just said. Or what about this? Or how did that come about? Now, when I was a teacher, I couldn't stand that person. They always question what I'm teaching. They get it the first time. Thomas is that person. Thomas is the one, no matter what, no matter where we're at here, he's going to ask that question that we're all thinking. And Thomas says, Lord, how can we know the way? Which brings us to our next point today. Verse 5. How can we know the way? Have you ever had someone tell you that you know something that you obviously do not know? When I went into college, they made me take Spanish. Boys from Georgia should have to take English, not Spanish. Amen? I get so embarrassed in our Sunday school class sometimes. We'll be reading through our material and I'll say, now is that a word? And everybody in my Sunday school class, they either just look down, they're embarrassed for me, or they look at me like, come on, man, that's really a word. And they made us take Spanish. And my Spanish teacher was from Spain. She was really good at Spanish. They could have at least given me an American who had tried to learn Spanish to teach it to us. Then they wouldn't know enough to know how little I knew. And she was so sweet and nice. I mean, she was so helpful. And she would work with me because she didn't want me to fail Spanish because she wanted me to graduate from there and do great things. And she would look at me, and I mean, I was right there. I mean, it was either pass or fail. It wasn't, am I going to get an A? Am I going to get enough good grades to pass this class? And she would, this is bad to admit, University System of Georgia here, she would help me through my tests. She helped us all through our tests. But we would do our test, and then we'd take them up there, and then she would mark them up, and then she'd hand them back to us, and we'd do them again. And then we'd take them back up there, and she'd mark them up, and then we'd do them again. To try to get us to pass. That's how bad I was at Spanish. I was trying to give you some Spanish words there, but the only word that came to my mind was capiche. Do you understand? That's not Spanish, is it? What is that, French? Italian? Woo! I'll stick with English. And she would look at me, and she would say, in her Spanish accent, she would say, you know this, señor. But I would grin, because I didn't, but... She would say, you know this. She was telling me I knew things that I didn't know. I didn't understand how it worked. I would memorize my vocabulary words and I could do that. But when it got to conjugating those sentences, I talk like I talk. But they talk like they talk. And they talk backwards. Have you ever noticed that in Spanish? They say, I want to go to there. And I say, I'm going over there. It's backwards than what we say. Jesus tells them here, you know the way. He tells them they know something that Thomas speaks up, and I'm glad he did, because without Thomas questioning in verse 5, we don't get the answer in verse number 6, and I love the answer that we get in verse number 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of the best verses in the Bible. If you want to call Thomas a doubter, then I'm happy that he is. College Spanish. Driving directions. Hey, can you tell me how to get... I've already broke my pride enough to admit I don't know how. Then I have to come and ask you. And a lot of times the first answer you get out of someone when you say, how can I get to somewhere? They say, well, you know, it's right over. Well, no, I don't know, or I wouldn't have asked you for those answers. Make me feel worse, less of a person. And then, you know, we always have those funerals, family reunions, weddings, where you see somebody every 10 years or once in your lifetime that you're actually blood kin to, and you're whispering to the people that are in your close family, now, who is that? Do y'all do that? And then when they come around, you say, oh, hey, so good to see you. Come by the house sometime. We ought to get together more. Are y'all's funerals run about like that? We all say that. We don't mean it, and we don't do it. In fact, if they were to come by the house, we'd lock the door, pretend we weren't home. And hear the poor preachers over here praying, Lord, help them reach their families. We were told we know things. I'm going to just have to let you have it right. My mother will say to me at these occasions, she'll say, you know, that's so-and-so. You remember them. I'll say, no, Mom, the last time I saw them, I was one years old. There's no way that I know them. Tell me I know things that I obviously do not know. And Jesus says to the disciples here, or to Thomas at least, you know the way. He's not telling them something that they don't know, but they've not figured out that they know it yet because he hasn't revealed to them, I am the way. Oh, they know. But Thomas asked the easy question, how do we know? You haven't told us. I'm glad he asked, because that leads us to our last point today. Verse number 6, I am the way. They knew him. They lived with him. They spent every day of their life with him. They followed him. They watched his miracles. He was the way. He was going away, but he would come back. He was making a place for them. We think in human, earthly terms too much when we think of the place. That's why the word mansion means so much to us. Jesus didn't go to heaven and start a construction company. Jesus got on the cross and made a place for you and I. Amen. Jesus got up from the grave and made a place for you and I. I am the way. The Bible gives us several I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Perhaps the greatest of those I am statements is here in verse number 6. I am the way. You can never experience Jesus, whether it's Jesus as the bread of life, Jesus as the living water, Jesus as the light of the world, Jesus as the resurrection and the life. You can't find that Jesus until you found Jesus the way. Perhaps the greatest. The disciples knew the way because they knew Jesus. They had left all to follow him. They had lived these years of their lives with him. So the answer to Thomas's question, how can we know the way, is Jesus saying, I am the way. That may be your question here this morning. How can I know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. You already know. We're studying the path to forgiveness. And there we see our topic, Jesus reveals the path. It's that simple. He reveals it by saying, I am the way. He is the path to forgiveness. At a time when the followers feel that all hope is gone or that all hope would soon be lost, Jesus reminds them here that he's the very answer that they're seeking. He's the answer that the world seeks. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the path of forgiveness. If you want to be forgiven, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. We love, I am the way, the truth, and life. Well, look at your Bible at the end of that verse. Verse 6, chapter 14, the end of the verse. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. There is no alternate path. There is no plan or purpose or any other way except through Jesus. If you want to be forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other door to the Father. God's truth is revealed in Christ. And we get in the way by coming to know Christ. Let me finish today by asking you this. Do you know? As Christians here today, we celebrate the fact that Thomas asked, how can we know? And Jesus answered, you know because I am. I like that. That encourages me. But if you're not saved here today, that doesn't make much sense to you. To answer how with I am is not grammatically correct in English the way we understand English. But once you get saved, it makes all the sense in the world. If you're here today and that's your question, how do I know? You're probably trying to solve that with, well, I hope. Or I try. We have this human tendency to think if my bad outweighs my good, the only time that stops working is in death. It works pretty good in life. You should try to make sure your bad outweighs your good in life. In fact, your bad should be nothing and your good should be everything in life. And I hope you're working that way in your life. That has nothing to do with eternity. When you stand before God one day, He's not going to care what you have or haven't done, your good or your bad. All He's going to care about. In fact, my only defense when I stand before God is going to be, say, unworthy. But He's going to say, oh, but my son died for you. And there's your name right there. Jesus is the way, the only way. Do you know Him? It is much simpler than hoping your sins are forgiven. It's much simpler than working for your sins to be forgiven. It is becoming in a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the way. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. Miss Wiggins is going to play a verse on the song, of the song on the piano. I feel like that maybe you're here today struggling with that very thing. We may not can work out everything today. I'd love to pray with you and show you how to be a Christian, but you may not be to the place where it's just going to be that easy for you. But I'd like to know today if there's someone I can be praying for through the week. If we would all close our eyes, bow our heads, nobody looking around. I don't do this a lot. But if you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, I'm like Thomas. Thomas wasn't all that bad. I'm like Thomas myself sometimes. And you're thinking to yourself, how can I know? Would you raise your hand and let me know? I'm not going to come to you. I'm going to pray for you this week. And I'm going to ask Jesus to help you to learn to know. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I see those hands. The next thing I challenge you to do if you raise your hand is to get with me. I'd love to walk you through how I came to know, and maybe that'll help you. But I'm going to pray for you nonetheless, and when you feel ready, you come and talk to me, and we'll try our best to show you how to know, how to come to know Jesus and get in a relationship with Him. It's very similar to how you come into a relationship with your spouse. You ask them, and then you work at it. The thing about working at it with Jesus is He's already done all the work. And all we have to do is accept His free gift of salvation. It feels unnatural because we want to work at it. He doesn't require that of us. Ms. Wiggins is going to play just a verse. If you'd like to come this morning and pray, I can pray with you right now to show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian here today and you've lost sight of this fact, today is your day to get this renewed in your life. We're about to enter into Easter and to celebrate a resurrected Savior. There's no better way to do that to make sure you're in perfect harmony fellowship with Jesus Christ. As she plays a verse, if you need to pray, you come on.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.